We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joining us in studio, Paul Mango. I don't know where to start, Paul, with you and your resume. West Point graduate, Army Ranger, healthcare professional at a very high level for many years, gubernatorial candidate. Wanted to be the governor of Pennsylvania. That didn't work out. However, fortuitously for the rest of us, as you pointed out, a couple of weeks after that, you got the call up at the federal level to join our health and community. So officially, Deputy Chief of Staff, Health and Human Services, correct?
Absolutely, Larry. I did spend a year at what's called the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. I was the Chief of Staff there. And then Alex Azar asked me to come up to the department level in July of 2019, so just 4 or 5 months before the outbreak of the pandemic.
And there certainly wasn't any hint of that coming. So
no.
Paul has documented this in a new book called Warp Speed, Inside the Operation That Beat COVID, The Critics and the Odds. And it started on January 3rd, 2020, when Dr. Robert, Redfield, Director of the CDC and Prevention, said, quote, "We have a problem in China."
Yeah, we had just returned from, kind of the holiday vacation. I think it was a day or two after that. And as the Deputy Chief of Staff, I was with the Secretary 6 to 8 hours a day. We kind of rotated. Everyone was with him all day long, everything he was doing. And of sitting in his conference room, and Bob Redfield calls from Atlanta. And he said, "I think we have a problem in China." And, Bob Redfield is 30-year public health official, so he understood. And believe it or not, in the fall of 2019, our biggest concern was Ebola. No one remembers this. But there was an outbreak of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And Azar and Redfield, everyone, Fauci, they all flew over there. It was finally contained, but that was our biggest concern until January 3rd when Bob Redfield called and said, "I think we have a problem in China."
Yeah, and it was in late December. I read a small article out of a news agency in China that said they had quarantined 7 people because they had a contagious flu-like illness. That was the line. And then, a month and a half later, everyone's talking about COVID-19. You got a little bit of ahead on that in early January. What was it like when you got the call, got the information that this was going to be out of control and that you were going to be the central figure in it?
Yeah, well, it was true ambiguity for a while. We didn't know what we were dealing with. We didn't know about this characteristic known as asymptomatic transmission, meaning you could spread the disease without even knowing it. We had no idea that it would affect certain persons radically different than others. I mean, let's just come back to Ebola for a second. 90% of the people who get it die. With COVID, 99.8% of Americans have survived the first 2 years. So it's a radically different virus. But we didn't know that at the time. And what our biggest concern was in January and February was getting Americans back from China. We had to repatriate thousands of Americans. And there was others out on these cruise ships, if you remember.
Right.
And we had to fly them back and quarantine them on Air Force bases for 2 weeks before we could release them. That was our biggest concern at the end of January going into February, because we didn't know much else about the virus at the time.
It's hard for the rest of us to imagine how something like that could spread so quickly globally, but you were trying to contain it. And so on January 10th, 2020, it begins. And then by May 15th, Operation Warp Speed kicks off in the Rose Garden, and then you had this race to try to figure out public, private, all hands on deck that you coordinated to try to come up with the solution, which was, how do you calculate how many lives were saved by the vaccines?
Well, let me just answer that question first. The Commonwealth Fund in Massachusetts put out a report in December that said in the first year of vaccines alone in the United States, it prevented 1.1 million deaths. Now, you know, whatever. The National Institutes of Health in July put out a report that said in the first 6 months, it saved 140,000 lives. So I don't know if it's 140,000 or 1.1 million, but it was a lot. It was a lot. And Larry, you mentioned January 10th. That was the day the virus was characterized, the DNA of the virus was characterized and posted on the internet. It was actually a week later that we had a good vaccine. We just didn't know it. Moderna, one of the firms that obviously has the vaccine, was already working with the National Institutes of Health with the mRNA technology, but they were working on cancer treatments. And right away, the National Institutes of Health said, I think this might work for a vaccine. mRNA was never used. That technology platform was never used to develop a vaccine in history. This was the first time. So we had a good vaccine because it didn't change from then. But the thing about Operation Warp Speed, which was most important, was ushering that vaccine through all the safety trials quickly and beginning manufacturing right away. What typically happens with any type of drug or vaccine is you develop it, you send it to the FDA gives you an approval, and you start manufacturing. We decided, Alex Azar, who had come from the pharmaceutical industry, said, no way, we're going to start manufacturing right now. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if it does work out, we'll have millions of vaccines ready the day it's approved. And that's what happened. We had 13 million doses of Moderna vaccine on the day the FDA authorized it for emergency use.
And in this process, you reported your team directly to the president, President Trump, and he cut through the red tape. So you talk about the public and the private sectors coming together in an unprecedented fashion.
Yeah. And I talk in the book about what the government did was enable the private sector to be successful, but the private sector delivered the success. There's a difference between the two. And little known fact that not a single federal employee ever touched a dose of vaccine before it got to American people's arms. Never touched it.
And conversely, for people who said, I don't trust a vaccine that was developed this quickly, this was actually built on years of research prior to that, correct?
Not only that, Larry, but the standards for evaluation by the FDA were actually more stringent for this vaccine than any other vaccine in history. So what do I mean by that? Peter Marks, who runs the center who approves the vaccines within the FDA, has all the statistics on this. And he would say the average vaccine that's been approved over the last couple of decades had 20,000 persons in the phase three clinical trial, the last clinical trial. He established a standard for COVID of a minimum of 30,000, and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson had over 40,000 persons. And then there's a second criteria, which is typically within 42 days of the time you get a dose of a vaccine in a clinical trial, you exhibit any type of adverse reaction if you're ever going to have one within 42 days. The FDA extended that to 60 days. So these vaccines actually went through a more rigorous evaluation than vaccines in the past.
That's good to know.
And that information was out there, but there was a lot of pushback from the media and the public because as things are growing and changing, sort of the reporting on it changes. Were you surprised by the kickback and the doubt that others had?
Yeah.
And seeing the facts that you had in hand?
It's 850 News Radio KDKA. We continue our conversation with Paul Mango, former Deputy Chief of Staff, Health and Human Services, former gubernatorial candidate, private citizen for most of his career at a high level in the healthcare space, and served our country in the United States Army, West Point grad, Army Ranger. Other than that, Paul's done very little.
Other than that, we're very similar lives, Paul.
Five daughters. That in and of itself is an incredible accomplishment, yeah. And they are all over the country doing their thing, right?
Yeah, it's I think of all the things in my life I'm most proud of. My daughters, after I had my third daughter, I met a gentleman who had had eight daughters. And I said, Bill, give me some hints here. How'd you get through this? He said, Paul, two things, pay the bills and keep your mouth shut. And that's what I did for 30 years, and it worked. So thank you, Bill.
Go Army.
And it worked, and then you got a call from the Trump administration to join them in the Health and Human Services. And then that led to the central role in Operation Warp Speed. You had all the answers and all the details right at your fingertips. But when you turn on the news at night, you're seeing it twisted. You're seeing maybe some important facts left out. You're seeing things grow and change. How frustrating was that when there were doubters in the media?
Yeah. Well, Kevin, first of all, I think the book is not a political book. It's a book about a great American achievement. And for those who decide to read it, I think you'll find it very uplifting. And I think that's the main message of the book, that despite all of the division and intolerance and political squabbling that goes on today, America is still a very exceptional place. It delivered more safe and effective vaccines to the American people faster than any country in the world. And it did it through the private sector. Unbelievable, what I call industrial dexterity. But the book and Operation Warp Speed did take place in the context of an intense political environment. And we struggled with that. And I talk about the beauty of Warp Speed is not that it eliminated obstacles, but that it confronted and overcame those obstacles. And one of them was the resistance to the vaccines. And on May 15th, 2020, the president had a ceremony in the Rose Garden to officially kick off Warp Speed. Well, that evening, of course, all the newscasters were saying, this is impossible. This is a campaign stunt. He just wants to do it so he can get reelected. We met with the president every 3 or 4 weeks. He never raised the date November 3rd once in all that time. And he was always just asking the question, what do you guys need? Whatever you need, I'll get it for you. Let me know. And he never micromanaged it either. We had Democrats and we had Republicans on the Operation Warp Speed team. And some of them had never met the president before. And I talk about this in the book. Mohn Sef Slaoui, the greatest vaccine developer of our generation, 14 successful vaccines he brought to market before he joined the Warp Speed team. And by the way, he worked for a dollar. That's what he worked for. So talk about a patriot, born in Morocco, educated in Europe, but a true American. And after the first time we met with the president in May, I said, Mohn Sef, what'd you think? And he said, you know, he's much more approachable than I thought he was going to be. And then I interviewed him last summer for the book, because I wanted to know what people's feelings were at certain times. I was obviously understood everything that happened, but I didn't know what people were feeling. And I said, well, what, you know, in retrospect, what do you think about the president? He said, without his leadership, we wouldn't have been able to do this. I said, say more. He said, he never micromanaged us. He trusted us to get this done. He let us do our thing. And so, you know, that's a registered Democrat who talked about that. And so, yeah, it bothered us in terms of the politicization, I guess, of the vaccines. You know, the current president and vice president came out and said you should never trust a Trump vaccine, and now they wonder why some people don't want to get it. It's unfortunate, but we overcame it, and I think Americans are beneficiaries of that.
I'm proud to know you, and you know, full disclosure, your daughter Reed, my daughter Emma, played basketball. That's how we originally met. I had no idea Paul would become this unbelievable central figure in the success of Operation Warp Speed, and I think people in this region should take pride in that too, since you've spent most of your adult life raising your children here. The most successful emergency vaccine development and deployment effort ever, the most successful biomedical public and private partnership in history, and I love that you recognize that we don't want this to be politicized. This isn't about this. This is about championing the best of what America has on either side of the aisle.
Yeah, and let me just talk a little bit about the Army Materiel Command, because I think people don't realize what it did to make this happen, because Warp Speed was as much a logistical challenge as it was a scientific challenge. In fact, it was more of a logistical challenge. We had zero excess manufacturing capacity in the United States in March of 2020. Zero. It had to stand up 27 factories or expand them in 7 months' time. Well, Gus Perna, who was the four-star general who led the Army Materiel Command and was completely dedicated to Operation Warp Speed. We had to order equipment to make these vaccines, big vats. They're made in big vats. And a lot of it was in Germany and Switzerland is where they manufactured this. So we'd get a call from Switzerland saying, we have one, we're going to send it, it'll be there in 6 weeks. And Gus Perna said, basically, BS, I'm sending a C-17 over there, we'll pick it up tomorrow afternoon. And he'd get it back. And then he called the Department of Transportation. This was all a government effort. And he'd say, you know, on Labor Day Monday of 2020, we need to shut down Interstate 80 between X and Y because there'll be a double-wide trailer that's going to be hauling a vaccine vat from point A to point B because we need to get it there under emergency circumstances. That's what was happening 24 hours a day. That's why what typically took 4 or 5 years took 10 months.
And you ran for governor, came up short in the primary. And again, 2 weeks after that, your life changed. But it seemed to pull everything you've ever done in your life to that point, all of that in one place when we all needed it most. So thank you for that. Warp Speed is the book, Paul Mango.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.